Praise be Jesus and Mary. The first reading today comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And he talks about this passage from death to life, from mortal sin to sanctifying grace. He says, "Brothers and sisters, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Of course, not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Their souls were not vivified by God's grace, but they were in the state of mortal sin, which is also known as the state of damnation, or the antechamber to hell. It is hell in waiting. And so he says, "In which you once lived following the age of this world," right? The false maxims, the false promises of this world, "following the ruler of the power of the air." That's the phrase that he uses when he's speaking of demons. "Following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient." Who are the disobedient? Those who disobey God's commandments. This spirit, the ruler of the power of the air, demons, are now at work in those who disobey God's commandments, those who live habitually in the state of mortal sin. They are under the influence, the control of demons. "All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh." So he mentioned the world, the devil, now the flesh, right? The three fronts upon which we must do spiritual battle. And he generalizes, you know, there are some who have lived in this world, few, but some who have lived without mortal sin. So St. Paul is generalizing. He says, "All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest." By nature, that is fallen human nature, that infected by original sin, concupiscence, the tendency toward sin. And then the good news, right? The good news of God's mercy, of the Savior, Redeemer, who has been sent into the world and has reconciled us and brought us from death to life. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life." That is, brought our souls to life by infusing in them sanctifying grace, divine life into our souls. "By grace you have been saved, raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." In the ages to come, that is, when all is said and done and this earth has passed away and there are a new heaven, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, then the souls of the just will shine with splendor and glory, and the immeasurable riches of Christ's grace will shine forth. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God." In fact, the word grace, gratia, means gift. "It is not from works, so no one may boast." No one merits that first grace of justification. "For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them." So now we're made for good works, that we might live in doing good works, and that brings us to the gospel. It's in doing good works and living a virtuous life that we have true riches. Someone comes to our Lord and he's asking for our Lord's intercession for material goods, his inheritance. And our Lord instructs him. He says, watch out, take care to guard against all greed, right? Avarice, one of the seven capital sins. He says, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. There's that word again, life. Our Lord being concerned about life in the soul. And avarice, greed, is capable of taking that life from us. And so our Lord then goes on to explain more on this by using a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, what shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest. And he said, this is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. Now notice, he was thinking of himself. Self-love, disordered self-love. Didn't he already have enough in the barns that were already built? Why did his thoughts not turn to the poor, to those who are in need? You see, because he was overcome by that capital sin, avarice. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry. Again, all of the focus is on himself. Resting, eating, drinking, and enjoying these passing pleasures which do not fulfill the heart. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And so had he been wise, had he been living as a wise man, he would have not spent all that time and energy in building larger barns and storing up the material goods that this world has to offer. And so he's a fool because his life will be demanded, this life, and he will have to render an account of himself. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? You can't take them into the next world. Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. And so we need to be rich in virtue, right? Rich in virtue, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them, that we should have sanctifying grace in our souls, live virtuous lives filled with good works. This is what it means to be rich in what matters to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christus.